Today we're going to talk about athletes and diabetes, and joining us is from OSF Healthcare, Chris Willis. And Chris, thank you for joining us.
Hey, again, thanks for having me, Sean.
So let's talk about athletes and diabetes. Kind of give us an overview of diabetes, first of all.
So basically there's type 1 diabetes and there's type 2. There are a couple others, but we won't go into that. And basically what I wanted to talk today more about was the type 1 diabetics and the athletes, because that's a little more complicated than type 2. And you're going to see more of the type 1s in your younger adult population or your young children population.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's like almost like 18,000 new cases of type 1 diabetes diagnosed each year. Those that are trying to be athletes with this can be a complicated issue. And the reason for that being is that basically type 1s are no longer able to produce the hormone insulin. Insulin is imperative to helping our bodies absorb the fuel that we need, called glucose,
mm-hmm.
To maintain our energy in our cells, in our bodies. So without that, one cannot survive. So in type 1s, they, of course, have to inject insulin, either with insulin syringes or insulin pumps. And regulating that in an athlete with type 1 can pose challenges.
Yes, indeed, but it's not impossible.
No, we have, if you talk about some famous athletes that have been very highly successful, the one that comes to mind mostly since we're in this state is Jay Cutler, who was the former quarterback for the Bears. He, ironically, was diagnosed as a younger adult back in like 2008 and had to learn a lot about what was happening with him and how to manage his diabetes. And he's been a great role model for young kids, because he goes into the clinical settings and he gives talks to the young kids about, hey, this is what I have. I was able to manage it. Here's how you can do it as well.
That is such a great thing that he does there. And of course, it leads to, there are so many questions that people want to have answered, especially if there's somebody who's young and athletic in this and finds themselves diagnosed with this. Let's talk about the main concerns when it comes to diabetes.
Yeah. So one of the things I like to also mention that might be helpful in understanding this is diabetes is a competitor in and of itself, much like an athlete would be. Diabetes never sleeps. It never quits. It never gives up. And it continues on and on and on. So learning how to successfully manage the diabetes along with their athletic endeavors takes a team. So one of the main concerns that we have with our type 1s and the parents of the type 1 athlete is generally that thing called hypoglycemia, which means low blood sugars. So low blood sugars can be caused by the individual having too much insulin already in their system from the insulin they injected, and not eating enough food, and or having too much insulin in their system while their activity has increased. And by that, I'm going to try to explain that when the activity increases, our bodies want to provide that working muscle with glucose, which is the fuel that we get from carbohydrates we eat.
Mm-hmm.
But in order for that glucose to work effectively, it needs insulin to grab it and put it into those cells for energy. So if there's too much insulin in a system and not enough incoming glucose or carbs, then they're going to bottom out and have a low blood sugar.
Huh, okay.
Which is scary, because it can, in a type 1 diabetic, or type 2 for that matter, but come on pretty quickly and pretty severely. So it's learning the signs and the symptoms of that and identifying those early on, which can mean anything from breaking out in a typically just breaking out in a sweat and feeling shaky and headachy, which of course can go along with increased activity because we sometimes do sweat, right?
Sure.
Blurred vision, being tired, having a fast heartbeat, or what I call the hangriness. We've all had that, where we get a little bit irritable and cranky and hungry because we missed a meal, which is normal for those of us without diabetes. Our bodies will respond efficiently and produce its own source of glucose to dump in, and we can move on and go from there. But in the type 1, that process doesn't work like that. So the only way they could treat that is by having a fast-acting source of glucose, such as having some orange juice or glucose tablets on hand, or preventing that from occurring in the first place.
Huh, wow.
Another concern that sometimes happens with our type 1s when they're exercising, which is kind of odd but can occur, is high blood sugars, the opposite.
Okay.
So it's imperative that these diabetics, and this is the thing that poses, I think, a lot more, is more complex for them and can be frustrating, of course, is they have to be highly monitor those blood sugars like a lot more frequently, so they kind of know what direction they're going in, because we definitely don't want them exercising when their blood sugars are above like 240 or higher or 250, because they don't have enough of the circulating insulin in their system at the time, and the muscles start to break down fat stores.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Instead, as a source of glucose, which is what we call that, you've heard of the ketone thing, like the keto diet thing.
Right.
It's different in the type 1 because they're not able to rebound from it, and that can lead to serious dehydration and electrolyte imbalances, a need for hospitalization and IV fluids. It's can even cause death, which is not a good thing. So they have to kind of monitor to see where they're at all the time.
And that's what
you want, one or the other.
And that's that brings us to another question about this dealing with this deal. You're going to need a strategy.
Yeah. So I think the biggest strategy is, we do know that the parents or the care providers and the child get the education early on, no matter what age they're at. But it's also imperative that no matter where they're at, they have an emergency kit or a bag that's available all the time. And the schools should also have that available as well. But things like don't leave home without it kind of thing. Glucose gels, glucose tablets to have on hand. Some even have what they call glucagon, which is what the emergency people would utilize, which is a hormone that tells the body, hey, put some sugar in there right now. Let's get it going. We need to get that blood sugar up. Having things like emergency phone numbers for individuals to call in case the parents aren't there on site or available to be there to help out. Having the correct amount, the child has to know, you know, where's my blood sugar before I started? How much carbohydrate should I be eating? They may need some prior to their activity. They may need it during. They definitely need it right after. But anyway, having that source on hand. And I think primarily and of utmost importance is utilizing your local healthcare providers who may be able to go into the school systems or to the field anyway and talk to the whole team about, you know, hey, what's this all about? What can I do to help out? What are my signs and symptoms? Do I need to be looking for? Doing that education with parents, coaches, with teachers, with anybody, referees involved.
Yeah.
They really need to know who that child is and what might happen and be available to assist.
That is great information. And of course, if you say you have a game coming up on a Friday night, or if you have you have a planned workout, building to that, making sure that you've managed your diabetes to that point is also a good recommendation, I imagine.
Yeah, so that's the other thing that these young people do, and I admire them, is because they have to pay attention to their bodies more than a non-diabetic, they're pretty much self-driven and generally will take notes and know how their bodies are going to respond to that certain activity. It takes some time to get that adjustment, but they can get it figured out and do the balancing. It's a balancing act.
Mm-hmm.
And so with modern technology that we have now, which is really cool, is they can, most of these type 1s, a lot of them, are wearing what we call continuous glucose monitors, which are little patches they can attach to their arm. Or some are available to wear them in other spots. But having that technology allows the care providers, the coaches, the athlete himself to know, hey, am I starting to trend upward in my blood sugar, or is my blood sugar starting to dive? And that with that new technology we have, it's made it so much easier for the young athlete or the athlete with type 1, period, no matter what age, to stay on top of their game and to make those corrections early on. So our modern technology is what's really saved the day, if you ask me, for especially our type 1s.
All right. Well, Chris Willis, we are out of time, but give people an opportunity to contact you for diabetes education.
Sure. Did you ask for a number? Sorry.
However they can get a hold of OSF or you or whatever works best.
So if anybody, wants to, contact their local healthcare provider, you can contact either, the Kewanee Hospital has great resources there as well for diabetes. And we, of course, here in Galesburg and in Monmouth as well. So us three surrounding areas, we all have our little experts in diabetes management, so certainly reach out to them or myself at any time.
All right, Chris Willis, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Hey, Sean, thanks a million again. Appreciate it anytime.